folks, to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Just, I want to thank everyone for joining us, for your belief and your trust in us. You know, for you to spend your time to listen to this show, to watch this show, we understand your investment of time, and we certainly don't want to squander that. We want to make sure that we are as upfront, honest, give you what we know so you can make decisions based on the knowledge that we're given. And we've been getting a lot of people who have been breaking ranks within the government, and this is a rather interesting how this is taking place, that people who would not talk before, you know, like no self-respecting Secret Service agent or no self-respecting FBI agent. Have you checked the self-respect of those people, by the way, lately? Yeah, the Obama regime, the Hillary Clinton, the Clinton criminal cabal really has done a number on the self-respect, or on the respect to the institution. And there are a lot of intelligence agents angry. And those people that we've talked to, and one bit of information, news nugget to copy Herman Cain, one little news nugget here. I want everyone to really to be wary of this, or to be aware of this, and that's what follows. And I'm getting more information. I will be getting more information on this over the course of the next several hours. The number of refugees coming into this country are far more than
anyone. Yeah, it's underreported.
Oh, underreported doesn't even begin to describe.
I heard a recent on Sean Hannity, he was talking about, and he mentioned the number 12,000. And we reported from a report about a month ago of 16,000, over 16,000. And that was from mainstream media sources over a month ago. And I, you know, and then 2 weeks later, you see, well, they broke the 10,000 mark. And I'm wondering, well, where did the other, you know, 8,000 go that they already,
they're all over the board.
Well, and then 10 times, there were 500 times increase is what Hillary Clinton wants, and her VP Tim Kaine is all about that. And well, 110,000.
The bit of information, though, I've got, Joe, and I haven't even told you this yet, but I'm going to just lay it all out here, is this. The churches in America and the synagogues, and especially the Jewish schools, are to be targeted. And how they're going to be targeted by one or two people, operational teams. Two at most, one is the best, but knife attacks. Knife attacks, the current, now, I know that some of this made the news.
Yeah, it did.
Because it was in the first edition of
the Islamic magazine.
Right, right.
They want to attack people in forests and remote places with knife attacks.
But
what was reported.
But their focus is the, in particular, the Northeast is the primary area of focus. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, that area, and they want us. What they want to do is they want to cause a lot of deaths by sending people in who are willing to die, but to cause immense bloodshed, cut the necks, smite the necks of the people in these churches and the schools. And they want to go after children in particular because they want the, of course, the terror factor, but also the what grabs the attention of the American people, even on the numbskulls on the left, is the death of children. And I was thinking about this. Why not guns if the agenda is to take away our gun rights? Well, the answer, as I was getting into this and getting information about this, is the people who are perpetrating this, of course, are in this country illegally. Yes, you can. It's easy to buy a gun, but it's easier still to use a knife, stay under the radar, and to even cause more terror and bloodshed. Plus, it's up close and personal, and it's also a learning factor, and a very sick one at that. It has a lot to do with the numbing effect.
Look at Europe. They've been successful and able to not only take the guns away, but now they've flooded Europe with so many Middle Eastern refugees, mostly men of fighting age that have come from these countries that say that this is how you take over and infiltrate a nation, is through coming over peacefully and then causing chaos. And it reminds me of something Russ Dizdar talks about.
Yes.
When the peace is removed from the earth and everybody, you know, starts to fight each other. And, you know, what, when you think about the different scenarios and ways that can happen, that's one of the first things that pops into your mind now is, you know, just imagine if that does happen and they have all these fighters already over here. And then, you know, they all attack coordinated type attack. It would be so chaotic.
Think of
no
waves.
Coming back from that, I don't think.
Well, it really is. You're right. There is no coming back from that, especially once the enemy has infiltrated and has filled up our country. And that's kind of where we're at with this. And this is what this is the intent. Of course, people will say, well, the intent is to get Democratic voters. Well, yeah, okay. They could do that via the machines. They could do that through dead people voting, and they are doing it that way. This is much more nefarious. Before we get to our guest, I just want to mention, folks, have you gone to GreenNovative Smuts, or have you gotten your GMAG power cell yet? Folks, GreenNovative. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on GreenNovative. It's a small company in Florida. They've created the GMAG Power Cell. This is a tremendous device. I love mine. I've used it, and I put it away for that special time. But what this is, it's a Super GMAG battery recharger with replaceable magnesium power pucks, and you can recharge rechargeable batteries. You can do that using just 2 tablespoons of salt or 2 teaspoons, I'm sorry, of salt and a little bit of water. This is a fantastic device. In fact, the Super GMAG charger will charge 6 rechargeable batteries in about 3 hours, over 20 times per pair of power pucks. You don't need the sun, you don't need wind, or you don't need a hand crank. All you need is a little ordinary table salt, a little water. You shake it for a few seconds, and the unit instantly makes electricity. This is one of the neatest devices I've seen ever. And you might ask me, well, gee, did you fail science class? I mean, it's like making electricity with a potato. No, this is really great. And even better, Super GMAG is, the chargeable is affordable. It weighs only about 8 ounces, so put it in your bug out bag. It's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Folks, GMAG. Go to HagmanReport.com or HagmanandHagman.com. Click on the link to GreenNovative. And again, it's a small company in Florida. They employ people. It is a ground-up company. What a great firm that is. You won't be sorry. The device is great. The company is great. And we thank them for being on with us. And one more thing while I'm at it, folks, make sure you've got your Minuteman rocket stove. The Minuteman rocket stove is the best. It's the perfect survival cooking stove for you and your family. If you don't have one, you need one. The Minuteman stove, it's a fully insulated ammo can. It has refractory insulation that focuses the heat specifically. It results in the cooking power comparable to a kitchen stove. It can also be used as on a picnic table because of the outside of the stove. It only reaches about 200 degrees. I mean, you can actually pick it up with your hands. This rocket stove is the Cadillac, the best of the best of rocket stoves. Folks, also, the fire starters. They have fire starters too. The best of the best. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. And again, we only offer the best of the best.
All right, we're going to bring in our guest for the rest of this Friday edition. It is evangelist Dan Goodwin. He is an author, speaker. His website is heavenbound1.net, and he is the author of several books, including God's Final Jubilee, which we have right here, and The Sevenfold Promises of His Soon Coming, The Revelation, and more. He hosts God's Final Jubilee radio program on several radio stations. He also speaks at churches and prophecy conferences across America, and he is with us today to talk about a number of things, from current events to a upcoming conference that he has next week in Minnesota, which is free to attend, as well as his book.
I want to ask him about the calendar, how the calendar overlays the current events, because I know that he's on top of that.
Dan Goodwin, it's great to have you back on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Well, Brother Joe and Brother Doug, what an honor to be with you again. This is just great. Looking forward to the program today. I've enjoyed the first hour.
Well, thank you. It's great to have you back on.
And
we got
how's my audio? How's my audio? Everything good there?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, good.
You sound better than us.
Well, I don't know about that. I probably look better than Brother Joe, but.
There you go.
We met Dan in Florida in 2015 at a Prophecy in the News conference, and we got to spend some time with him behind the scenes. We did some interviews for the DVD, and we got a chance to talk with him a little bit there, and that was really nice. And he's been a guest on our show several times. Where do you want to start tonight, Dan? Do you want to open up by getting into the upcoming conference you have next week?
Yeah, that would be great. We're doing a prophecy conference, as you gentlemen know. I'm hosting it in Mankato, Minnesota. And in fact, we're just a week out. It's going to be October the 15th, and we're almost there. And it's a Saturday. And I've got two other guests coming. I've got Dr. Clarkson, Kevin Clarkson, the host of Prophecy in the News, and he'll be speaking twice. And I've got Pastor Billy Crone coming, and he's from Nevada, Get a Life Ministries. I think he's probably been on your show before. And each of us will be speaking twice. This is Saturday, October the 15th, starting at 2 p.m. And how you register is you just go to my website. Now, you just gave heavenbound1.net. That's the same website. But God's Final Jubilee is a lot easier to remember. So godsfinaljubilee.com is the website, and you can click on the conference there and register. And it's free of charge. There's no cost for the conference. And we're going to host this thing for free. And there's quite a few people already have registered. We're expecting a pretty good crowd. So we need folks to register, though, because seating is limited. And if the seats run up, we'll have to end the registration. But there's still seats. So anybody interested, go to the website, godsfinaljubilee.com, and click on the conference there that pops up on the website. And you can read all about it.
How close is that to the Twin Cities where you're going to be at?
It's about an hour and 10-minute drive from the airport, and just south of St. Paul, Minneapolis area. And by the way, we have a special rate for anybody coming in that wants a hotel Friday night or Saturday night. The Best Western. The information's on the website. You can the phone number of the hotel is there, and directions, all that. By the way, anybody coming in early, we have a special event taking place Friday night on the 14th. We've rented Jake's Pizza right there in Mankato. Best pizza you'll ever eat right there. And we're going to meet there at 5:30. Now, we need just to register for this, too. If you're coming in Friday and you'd like to come to this special dinner, which is also free, we've covered the whole thing. We're paying for the pizza. And there's all very limited seating there, so you'll have to call quick. And there's a number on the website there for Neil Koss. He's the gentleman you call, and you tell him, I'm coming Friday night, and he'll put your name down. And all three of the speakers, Dr. Clarkson, myself, Brother Crone, will all be there. You'll get to ask us questions. You get to talk to us. We're just going to have a good time. We're not going to preach. It's going to be very informal. So just, you don't have to wear a tie. Just come and eat pizza and chat with us, and we'll probably take some question and answer and things like that. So that's Friday night, 5:30 to 7:30, and the conference starts on Saturday at 2 p.m. It goes till 9 p.m. We're going to have six messages. Each one of us will speak twice. We're going to have a break at 6 o'clock for supper, and guess what? We're going to feed you right there. We're catering it. We're bringing food in, and you know, it's a blessing to be able to do this for free. So we've had some people who donated, and we figured, hey, we're not in this to make money. Let's let people come for free. So if you're in the Wisconsin area, area, Iowa, of course, Minnesota, anywhere nearby. A lady called me. She's coming from Florida. I think she's flying. I got a lady coming from California. So there's people coming from all over, but especially if you're in that area, anywhere within a few hours of Mankato, St. Paul, Minneapolis, you'll want to check this out and possibly come over. So it's going to be great. We're going to have a good time. So go to my website, godsfinaljubilee.com, and you can see all the information right there. I appreciate Brother Doug and Brother Joe. Appreciate you allowing us to share that with your listeners here tonight.
Sure, sure. You know, it's always good. The fellowship is always good, and we appreciate you doing that, especially at such an exorbitant cost. All right. You know, God's Final Jubilee. All right, that's your website, but it's also the name of a book you were on back in February. On our program, I remember talking to you about this, and you know, I'm looking at the headlines. We've been looking at the headlines. I'd like to start here, if this is all right with you. We're looking at headlines today. War is looming, I believe, looming in Syria. It's pitting Russia against the United States. Of course, I have my own beliefs as to who's starting what and why. But when you overlay you do a pretty good study about the Jubilee year or the Jubilees. I kind of want to get your take since February to today. It's, I don't know, however many months, whatever, 8 months, 7 months. Where are we? How far down the prophetic path have we gone?
Well, if the Lord's coming at midnight, I think we're at 12:05, Brother Doug. I really do. It's almost like we're overdue. This thing is just escalating so fast. You know, we joke about it all the time. You can't even keep up. I mean, as soon as you post a story on your page, you go, you know, an hour later, something else huge is going on. I had a publicist for a while. Maybe this will explain what I'm trying to say. I had a publicist. They were trying to get me out there. They were talking to Fox News and different people, trying to get some of my information. You know, trying to get an interview, and I had some interesting things. And when they pitched that to some of these big news organizations, they of course they wanted to know what I wanted to talk about. And when she told them what my topic was, they said, "Oh no, that's old news. We're not interested." I mean, it was only a few weeks old, but we live in a society, we live in a generation where, my goodness, we changed from one huge event. I mean, a terrorist attack happens right here in our country. Within 3 or 4 days, you don't hear about it again. It's gone. I mean, because some new thing has happened. And now what's been on the news for the last 3 days? I mean, you guys know. Hurricane Matthew. And I don't mean to make fun of it. I mean, I've got friends down there. In fact, my publisher is in Fort Pierce, Florida. FBC Publications. She prints all my books. She's right there where that thing came ashore. And she told me they never lost the power at the publisher's house at the building where they published my books. I joked with her and told her to make sure my books were on the top shelf, and she assured me that they were. And but for the last 3 days, all we've heard about is this hurricane. And right. You know what? It didn't really hit what they've been saying. I mean, did you hear Shepard Smith, that great journalist, Shepard Smith?
Yes.
I mean, he was telling people if that thing shifts 10 miles, there'll be hundreds of thousands, you'll be killed, he said.
Your children will die. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness, he just in the emotion of this thing. And every time a storm comes, I mean, it becomes worldwide news over here in America. I mean, you know, I grew up in Maine. We had blizzards, and it was never a big news event. I mean, there was maybe after the fact. I mean, they showed some pictures of people shoveling and all that. But I mean, it was a normal thing. Hurricanes, blizzards, and stuff like that, it happens.
You're exactly right. Now, the only thing I've got to say about this hurricane is, and this, again, this is just me. I'm looking at this from an investigative point of view, as I do everything. I shouldn't even preface it by saying that, but I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know, the course of this, and I'm sure history is replete with examples of how hurricanes, you know, make a quick right or a quick left or do things. I guess maybe that's just natural, but I have to wonder if there isn't not some sort of a little bit more to this hurricane. Take away the emotion, you know, the hyperbolic statements of Shepard Smith, but just remove that. The timing to me is suspect, but also the movement is suspect, how that kind of went north, and then now it's talking about, they're talking about it perhaps doubling back, like a, you know, going in a clockwise fashion to hit land again. I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but do you have any suspicions in your guts, or perhaps any type of research that you've conducted, that this is just maybe manipulated, managed, in some way? I'm just curious.
It could be. I mean, there are people who believe that HAARP has something to do with these things, and I think HAARP is real. I'm not educated enough to give a lecture on HAARP, but I believe it exists. I believe the military developed it. I believe it's there. Now, is our government using it to bring about some of these storms? I don't know. But I do know this. There's a gentleman that wrote a book. I've met him. His name has left me suddenly, but the title of the book is called As America Has Done Unto Israel. Oh, you may have heard of that book. He documents very well the storms that took place and different natural disasters, and they seemed like they correlated with when America was on the wrong side of Israel. For instance, just one example in the book was the Bush's house up in Kennebunkport, Maine, where I'm from, by the way, up in Maine. There was a storm there that was so unusual. It was backwards, and it seemed like that storm hit at a time when President Bush, Sr., at the time, was on the wrong side of Israel and was doing something. So I think there's certainly something to that. And I'll tell you what, if this storm was where the debate's going to be Sunday night and it canceled the debate, I'd find that pretty interesting indeed.
Yeah, exactly. And the gentleman, or the book you mentioned, As America Has Done to Israel, the author is John McTiernan. We've had him on our program talking about this very issue. And, you know, it just seems to me that God's prophetic time clock is giving us little dings, you know, on the minute or 30-second mark. It just seems like it's out there. And people tend to shy away, I think, from the scriptural overlay of current events. They don't want to even think about that. But I do believe that there is, that we are being given signs. And whether, yeah, you know, it's a hurricane or...
And we're just a few minutes before our break. And Mr. Goodwin, since the last time you've been on, we've kind of changed the format of the show. We take three-minute breaks about 26 and 56 minutes into the hour, just to let you know. That's something I forgot to mention to you earlier.
Sure, yep.
But I wanted to touch on a few things you said. You know, I don't know if it is something to do with the lessening of America's attention span, or if it is just the rate that important news comes. When you said, you know, you see a terrorist attack and 3 or 4 days later it's not talked about anymore in the news, or, you know, you have these big news events that are important and, you know, within 48 hours they're completely gone, never to be heard from again. Do you think that is something to do with the attention span of America, or the number of important events?
I think it's both. I think we've been conditioned this way. I mean, people watch TV for hours a day. You ever go visit people? I don't want to make anybody mad, but I mean, you go visit people and the TV's on, I mean, 24 hours a day. It's just blare, and it's like people can't live without it anymore. There's got to be noise in the background all the time. And I think we've been conditioned this way. But I think also, I think we've gotten into sensationalism, and I think some of us prophecy preachers are guilty of this too. You know, you always got to have this big headline out there to get people to your site and to get people to look, and we're all guilty of that to some degree. And but the news reporters are certainly Fox News, CNN, all of them. They've got to have this big headline to draw people in. I told my wife recently, we travel a lot. My wife travels with me now quite a bit, and it seemed like every 5 minutes. Fox News. I have Sirius Radio in my truck, and about every 5 minutes you get this Fox News alert, and I'm thinking, my goodness, they're killing us with this. What if anything serious ever happens? Who takes the alert serious anymore? The Fox News alert is a dog is stuck in a sewer or something. I mean, my goodness, it used to be these alerts were some serious thing that the country needed to know about. Now a Fox News alert is Hillary Clinton's giving a speech. We don't need a Fox News alert for that. And I'm not picking on Fox News, but I think that's the age we live in now, where it's got to be this big sensational thing, and you need this headline to draw people into your show. And I think we've become desensitized to it.
No, absolutely we have. And, you know, just as an example, you know, the sensationalism we see, you know, one of the things that I see a lot is anytime, you know, you see the birds dying, or it seems to do with Mother Nature, storm type headlines, weird events in the earth, but, you know, a river turns red or birds drop out of the sky, and, you know, you get these big prophecy warning things, which, you know, those are things that are talked about in the Bible, but they're talked about in a certain context where, you know,
right.
It's not just going to be one, you know, river in a remote country over here. It's going to be, you know, a third of the waters or whatever. But there is and the mainstream media is very guilty of this. And just, you know, as an example, this storm, Hurricane Matthew, there hasn't been a hurricane that's made landfall in the last 10 years. And you see these headlines that say, you know, oh, this is the deadliest hurricane in over a decade. Well, that's because there hasn't been any hurricanes in the last 10 years. So, you know, that's why. But that's just one example. And we're coming up against the break right now, Mr. Goodwin. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about current events, news, and your book, The Barley Harvest, God's Sign for the End Times. Folks, you're listening to Evangelist Dan Goodwin on this Friday edition of the Hagman Report. Stay with us. Talking with evangelist and author Dan Goodwin, godsfinaljubilee.com and heavenbound1.net. They are the same website, and you can, that's Dan Goodwin's website, bookmark and visit there, and you can get his books, God's Final Jubilee and The Barley Harvest, his latest book, God's Sign for the End Times. How long ago was that released, Dan? The Barley Harvest?
Oh, just a few months ago. It's brand new out there, Brother Joe.
Excellent. We have it right here. It's a fantastic short read, and you can get it off of his site. And is it available on Amazon also?
It is on Amazon, Kindle, and paperback. It's also on my website. And by the way, it comes with a 2-CD set, which I don't think I sent you, Brother Joe. You probably didn't know that. There's a 2-CD set that comes with that. Four of my God's Final Jubilee programs that I do on YouTube are on there. And
it's a great little book. And it's and folks, if you haven't read God's Final Jubilee, this is a great book too.
Yeah, I'd like to revisit
Jonathan Cahn recently, and other authors and speakers who talk about the time period that we're in. And this book really sets up the timeline for the Final Jubilee, and you know the.
Dan, a lot of people don't know what a jubilee is, or if they do, it's with a limited amount of knowledge. But the importance, as you point out in your book, God's Final Jubilee, the importance of the feast days, of the Jewish feast days, and especially the jubilee years, the jubilees, the feasts and such. Can we just revisit this a little bit for those new listeners?
We sure can, and I just listened a few days ago. I listened to our February interview that I did with you. In fact, I posted on my Facebook page, for anyone wondering, God's Final Jubilee Facebook. I post a lot of things there. That interview was so good, and I don't mean that because I'm anybody, but man, it was so interesting, the things that we talked about in that interview. And I personally think, and I know I'm the author and authors are biased, but I believe that book, God's Final Jubilee, is possibly the most important prophetic book of our day today. And I think the Barley Harvest book comes right on its heels with some more pieces of the puzzle that everybody has missed. Very simple things that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But I want to read you a verse, Brother Doug and Brother Joe, and I want to see if you can figure out where I'm reading here. I'm going to read just a short verse, and I think maybe we'll shock some of our listeners out there. Somebody just sent me this. I can't take the credit for it, but I'm going to let me read this. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Anybody care to guess where that verse is? Matthew 10:7. Matthew 10:7. What's that telling you? The hurricane is named Matthew. This is 10:7 today when the hurricane hit the shores of our country.
Okay, oh. Matthew 3:2. I paused there because Matthew 3:2, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near or is at hand, depending on which Bible. But yes, what was that verse?
10:7.
Matthew 10:7. Today's 10:7, and the book of Matthew. And I've been joking with people, and any of you out there that's in the hurricane, I'm not making light of it. I know these are dangerous things, and you got to watch yourself. You got to be careful. But I've been telling folks, I said, you know, this is Matthew, but you wait till Mark, Luke, and John get here. You think you ain't seen nothing yet? And what I mean by that is,
wait a minute, I just got that. I'm sorry, I just got that. Matthew, hurricane Matthew, 10:7. The date, the month. Okay, thank you. Help me, Rhonda.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So, I'm of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the Revelator, when God shows up and brings judgment, it's pretty severe. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I believe that was spoken to Christians. We don't like to look at it that way, but you know what? God sometimes deals with his people. And you just study the Old Testament, you'll find God dealt with his people in some pretty harsh ways. Just look at Israel. And America's turned from God. We're in trouble. This country is gone. I don't believe we'll ever steer her back where she needs to be. And I agree with your prior guest there. I think it's just giving us more time. I was not a Trump man. I had a different guy that I was hoping would win, and I think we threw him under the bus. I think he was probably our only hope constitutionally. But we've got no choice now. We have got to vote for Mr. Trump. We know what Hillary is. We're not sure about our guy, but we know what Hillary is. And if she gets in, it's definitely over. So I would encourage people to pray and get on their faces before God and get their hearts right. And I would encourage people to quit being this Never Trump junk. I don't know who started that nonsense, but what we better do is be for the how about never a Hillary support that.
I mean, it's Never Trump, and that's by Republicans or by conservatives and even Christian conservatives. You're correct, sir. You know, but why Never Hillary? What's wrong with us?
Yeah, we got some of the. I mean, I heard that possibly some of the Bushes are kind of leaning towards Hillary. I can't fathom that. I mean, Hillary believes that abortion is okay up until the moment before birth. I mean, she's for murdering that little baby. How can anybody who claims to be a Christian under any circumstances vote for that evil? And by the way, Obama was the same way. President Obama is on record. I've heard the statement. He's on record as a senator who did nothing, by the way. He's barely spent a year in there. And he's on record stating that if a woman has an abortion and that baby somehow lives, the doctor should, shouldn't call him a doctor, but anyway, they should put the baby on a metal table and leave it there to die because that was the will of the mother. Now, that's a fact. The president said that when he was a senator. And I'll tell you what, my description of anybody, any human being that would say that and believe that in his heart is a monster. Now, our president said that. Now, people can get mad at me all they want. That only a monster would put a baby on a metal table and let it die there. So, anyway, I guess I'm on record here.
You know what? Dan, our guest is Dan Goodwin, author, evangelist, pastor. To hear that, to even, I'm not only slow today on the uptake, but I'm also tongue-tied. It hurts me. I mean, have we gone down so far down that road?
Yeah. Now, in my Jubilee book, Brother Joe, I got a story. I have the story of that guy from your state, Pennsylvania, where I used to also live. That doctor, of course, I don't know why they call him a doctor, but the one who was cutting the spinal cords on these little babies and all that junk that went on a few years ago. I have that in my book, God's Final Jubilee. I believe that story was from 2014. It was happening while I was writing the book. That was a very hard passage to put in the book. I have that grandbaby. I had a brand new grandbaby that I held in my arms, and I'm thinking of that evil man and what he was doing in that abortion clinic in Pennsylvania. And this is where our country has gone. Now, there's also a story, Brother Joe. Did you see what's going on in Pittsburgh? That's just a little ways from you there. This is from October 6th in the Washington Post, since we're talking about current events. Pittsburgh, three transgender seniors at a Pennsylvania high school are suing the school district for not allowing them to use the bathroom of their choice. And I thought that was an interesting story there. And again, it just shows how wicked we've become. And now from what I understand in the story, not only do they have a men's room, a boys' room, and a girls' room, but they have an anybody room, I guess. But that wasn't good enough for them. They don't want a room that's for anybody. They want to choose which of those two gender bathrooms they get to use. They don't want anybody else to make that decision. Now, you know, in the 60s, you, Brother Doug, you would know this. You're older than I am. In the 60s, they'd have put those young kids would have been put in a mental institution because there's something wrong with a human being that is confused about his gender or wants to be a different gender. God made them male and female. That's very plain in the Bible, all the way back in the first pages of our Bible. And it's time that we got back to that. It's time that we let God decide what is right and wrong. And so the whole nation is becoming immoral, and we're walking on eggshells trying not to offend somebody. And you can't call somebody he anymore. We're becoming genderless and moralless. And the only thing going to save us is the Lord when he comes back. We're in a mess. That's right there in Pittsburgh.
We are.
Brother Doug. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Allegheny County. I've been informed of that by several people. Actually, I've got several good friends down in Allegheny County who have informed me of that. Now, I want to ask you, because you're talking about these issues, have you endured or suffered any kind of censorship, whether as a pastor, as an author, as a speaker? Have you experienced any of this censorship, especially when you're talking about this, about the transgender issue, or about the immorality of the transgender issue, or even about abortion? Have you been censored at all?
Well, not that I know of. I'm sure I have and just don't know it. I mean, there's people like on Facebook, they unfriend you. In fact, I had a girl walk away. She was bragging on my books and all this, and then all of a sudden there was something she didn't agree with, and bang, she was gone. And people are like that now. It's like, you know, they think you're the best person in the world, and then one little thing comes up that they differ with you on, and they throw you under the bus and they run you over. And we saw that
Christians,
Christians,
too,
Christians.
You know.
And we saw this in the primary, didn't we? In the primary, we saw what Christians will do.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing, Mr. Goodwin. It's amazing to me that the worst offenders, and I say this with a heavy heart, the worst offenders are those who identify or self-identify as Christians, or saying, it's almost as if they've got the exclusive on the word that their I don't want to use the word interpretation, that their version of Christianity is far superior to yours, or what they are doing with their lives is much more effective for the kingdom than yours. And I'm not saying that to be in any way mean-spirited, but I'm seeing this coming from the Christian camp.
Oh, I agree. I see the same thing. And, no two people will ever agree on everything. It's impossible. Sure. And now there's certain key issues. I mean, we got to be right on salvation. We got to be right on the deity of Christ. I mean, there's certain things you got to be right, and you got to be dogmatic on some of those things. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of other areas out there that, you know. All right. So if you want to have church on Saturday, if you want to keep the Sabbath, that's fine. I'm not mad at you. I think you ought to at least get the day right. I mean, Saturday's the Sabbath if you want to keep the Sabbath. But a lot of people keep the Sabbath on Sunday. I joke with them. I say, look, I'm all for you if you want to do that. But you know what? Sunday's not the Sabbath. That's the first day of the week. And I had a lady out in Colorado Springs. I was in the Prophecy News conference there. A lady come up to me and she said, I loved your message except for one thing. And boy, she was mad at me. And she said, you said that the feast days, and you said that they were wonderful things, and they were pictures and types. She said, but you said that we weren't required to keep those feasts. And she said, I don't agree with you there. And I'm scratching my head. I'm thinking, my goodness. And I could have went after her, but I didn't. I let it go. But you know what? I'll bet she doesn't kill a lamb on Passover and put the blood on the doorpost of her house. You know.
Good point.
See, we want to get under certain parts of things, but we don't go all the way. You know, I tell people, if you want to keep the Sabbath, every Saturday, if you want to keep the Sabbath, I ask them, I said, did you cook a meal on Saturday? Because in the Bible, if you kept the Sabbath, you did not cook from Friday night at 6 p.m. till Saturday night at 6 p.m.
That's right.
In fact, in the book of Numbers, you couldn't pick up a stick. So I tell them, I said, are you really under the Sabbath, or are you just picking out certain things, like you don't cut your grass on Saturday? That's fine. But anyway, all I'm saying is, we all differ on a few things, but we don't have to kill each other over it. And that comes with patience. And I think we ought to love people. And but I think sometimes us preachers get beat over the head a lot because maybe we have an understanding of something that somebody else doesn't, or maybe we're wrong on something. Everybody's wrong on something. And
yeah,
we gotta have not, love.
Brother, I could not, and I say this with all sincerity, I could not be a minister or a pastor. I couldn't. I don't think I could handle that job. I have a hard enough time doing what I do now, and that's just talking about the Bible, about the more obvious salvation issues, and we get. Invariably we get taken to task over many things, but yes, you've got a tough job, you really do.
Now, that's I'm not I'll a say. Pastor. I've pastored three times. I'm an evangelist, and probably 99% of all I do now is prophetic related. I preach prophecy meetings. I write articles, and that's probably all I do. And to be honest with you, I don't see anything else as important anymore. I'm telling you, I think we're at the end of this thing. I think very possibly next fall is the end of this thing. Now, I'm not telling anybody to sell their life insurance policy. I haven't sold mine. I don't think we should do stupid things. But I'm telling you, when you look in the Bible and you see what's going on in the world today, I wrote a chapter called What in the World is Going On? And I wrote that to me, Brother Doug, because I'm asking myself that every day. What in the world? I'm scratching my head. I read the story about the three kids in school wanting to be boys, wanting to be girls, and all this nonsense. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? I have to remind myself. I wrote a chapter about that. I know exactly what's going on. And if you understand what's going on, on, you can go to bed at night and set your alarm to get up the next morning and sleep like a baby because everything's all right in my father's house. Everything's going according to his plan. Because the three things that are going on is, number one, the world is being prepared for the return of Jesus Christ to snatch his bride. And number two, the world is being prepared for the rise of Antichrist and his kingdom. We can see that every day. The one, I got an article I'm going to read for you in a few minutes if you allow me to. And a shocking story from 2 years ago that nobody's ever seen. And that has to do with this one world that's coming, and that one world is almost here. I'm sure you had some guests talking about the United Nations speech of our president, where in my opinion he committed treason and sold us down the river and said we need to give up our securities and our freedoms, for we need to give up our liberties and trust in for the world to give us peace and security. And my goodness, he took an oath to obey and to protect the Constitution. He stood in the United Nations and basically trashed it and said we need to get rid of that and we need to yield to the world empire because that's where true security is. And my goodness, Congress should have him arrested. Can I say that on the air?
Oh, I totally agree, and I'd appreciate it if you would expand upon that, because many people are not familiar with what you're saying, and I saw this, and the silence about this is deafening. So please expand upon this. And I agree.
What is shocking to me is we've had a Republican-led Congress for several years now. They have given this president everything and more than that. They've given him every dime that he wants. In fact, this last time they supposedly gave more than they asked for, and the Democrats were laughing about it. I said, my goodness, they gave us more than we wanted. And you just have to wonder and I think your last guests said it pretty well. Most of them old timers in there have already been bought. My senator, Mitch McConnell, right here from Kentucky, I stood against him a few years ago when he ran against Matt Bevin. Matt Bevin, you may not know him. He's now my governor, by the way. Tremendous man of God. We've got a Christian governor here in Kentucky. It's unbelievable. He ran against Mitch McConnell for the Senate in the primary. Baptist preachers were telling me, we've got to vote for Mitch because he's more powerful. Yes, Matt's a better man, but Mitch is, he'll be the head of the Senate. We've got to keep him. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what's wrong with us? How's that working out for us, by the way? My goodness, this guy's he's a radical. He teams up with the Democrats all the time. He hates Ted Cruz. He fought against Ted Cruz, and spineless. But I think they've been bought. I mean, Mitch has been there like 30 years in the Senate, and nobody can take that. I don't care how good of a Christian you are. You can't. The founders of our forefathers said the same thing. You can't handle being in these political offices for that long. You get bought. You sell out. And so Congress is doing all these things, and they're not fighting for us. They're siding with the Democrats, and I don't understand why the Congress can't do something. It makes me so mad that every time the president breaks the law, which is about every day, you wonder when are they gonna arrest him, or when are they gonna challenge him and say, look, you know, you don't, Mr. President, you don't have that authority. All they do is talk about it, but nobody does anything. And here we are at the end of all things. And of course, you know, knowing what I know about the end times, these things have got to happen because the Antichrist kingdom has got to be formed. It's got to be ready. When we're taken out of here, the Antichrist will be ready. He's somewhere on the earth right now. He may be in Washington, D.C., as I point out in my book. I have a strong suspicion that the Antichrist is right here in America, known by every American.
You know, I sense that. You kind of had a unique way of displaying or of explaining that or writing that. do you believe he's going to be from the West, or do you believe in a Muslim or Islamic Antichrist? There's a reason.
I disagree with some of the thought and of the Muslim Antichrist, but I'm not saying that I'm right and they're wrong. I don't see it. I've read some of the books. Here's what I do know, though. The Antichrist, I believe, will come out of the Roman Empire. Now, some people think, okay, the Roman Empire could be a Muslim empire. Okay, you can think that if you want. Some people say, well, that's Turkey. I personally don't. I'm not going to undo hundreds of years of thinking on this because suddenly we're smarter today than they were all these years. They're going to have to prove this to me, and they haven't. I do not see the Muslims. I hope I'm going to say this right. We'll offend somebody, I guess, but the Muslims don't even get along with each other. There's no way they're going to rule the world. The only way they're ruling what they're ruling now is by cutting people's heads off and bloodshed and threatening and putting fear into people. That's not leadership. That's dictatorship. I do not see somebody like that having the whole world come after him and put a crown on his head without any fight or I mean, the Antichrist in Revelation 6, a crown is placed on his head. He doesn't fight. He doesn't kill anybody to get it. He doesn't steal. They beg him, and he rises up, and they put a crown on his head, it's like he's the man of the hour, and boy, thank goodness he's here. He's here to save us. Now, this person, from my understanding of the Bible, is going to come out of the Roman Empire. Now, here's the argument I get. And of course, we're going into areas tonight we didn't plan, and that's fine. I love this kind of stuff. You know, we have, you know, we had some areas we planned to talk about. Maybe we'll get to them, but this is good. I love this kind of stuff. I think this. People always say, well, the president, he's not from Europe. The Antichrist got to come out of Europe. I said, now wait just a minute. Where did America come from? We're the lion's cub. We are Europe. We came out of Europe. I believe we technically are the replacement of Europe, and we're stronger than Europe. And I mean, look at our laws. We have European laws. We have a European justice system. We have our whole system of government basically has its roots in England, and we have a Senate like they had, and it's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. We have the English language. We have Roman laws here. Hey, where's the United Nations? That's in Turkey, right? Oh, no. That's in Iraq, right? No? No, it's right here in New York City. The United Nations, which is run by America, I don't care what anybody says, the United Nations is controlled and operated by the seat of government here in this country, or it wouldn't be here. We run that thing. I mean, we have veto power. I mean, other nations do too, but I mean, look, if the United Nations was in Iraq or over there in London, I think things would be different. But it's here in Manhattan, it's in New York, and I think America is European. I think we are part of that European nation. I think we came out of her. I think we're the lion's cub that Jeremiah talks about, or Ezekiel, one or the other. And another thing, people say, well, the president, he can't, he didn't come from Europe. He can't. I say, and I'll ask him, where did he come from? Who knows where this man came from? You know, and it makes me so mad that Donald Trump has backed off of the Bertha thing. I don't like the word Bertha.
Amen. Amen.
Bertha is a term that was used to discredit us and make us look silly. And but you know what? If the man was born in Hawaii, why did he spend millions of dollars hiding his records, his birth certificate? And I'm convinced that that Sheriff Joe is right, and that birth certificate, I believe they proved that it was a fraud. But my goodness, nobody cares. Congress doesn't care, I guess. I mean, Mitch McConnell don't care. None of them care. They don't want to be called a Bertha. See, the Democrats are so smart. Them guys are smart. They labeled you a Bertha, a conspiracy nut. Nobody wants to be labeled like that. And
that's right.
So everybody
Mr. Goodwin,
stays away from. Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We'll start here on the other side. We are up against our top of the hour break.
I love this talk.
You're listening to Dan Goodwin. We'll be right back with Dan for our third and final hour right after this.